My name's Ben, and it is a great joy to be here. It feels like it's been a long time coming, as Phil and I have been in discussions for quite a while, as well as with some other of you as well. So it's strange, but it's also exciting to be here. It's been a big week, as Kate described, moving in and all of that. But we're here. We made it. And can't wait to get to know you all. That takes some time, of course. Everyone has their own stories to tell, their own lives, as do we. But we look forward to sharing those with you together and doing life together as we seek to trust and follow Jesus and grow together as his family in Wilton. So we're very excited about that. I'm also very thankful to Phil and to Pamela for their kindness and graciousness in the midst of all this change, as they've had a chaotic week as well, and it's a significant change for them. And it's great to be able to be working with Phil this year and onwards, and looking forward to that as well. So it's very exciting, and I'm looking forward to leading you as your pastor. And the main way of doing that is by teaching the Word. And this term we're going to be working through Mark's Gospel, which is going to be a lot of fun. We're kind of racing along through Mark's Gospel so we make it all the way to Easter at the appropriate moment. So it's going to be quick. We'll need to keep up, read along during the week so that we can each follow and keep up and discuss and think deeply through what God has to say to us through his Word. So it's very exciting. And this evening we're beginning at the beginning as Robin read to us from Mark chapter 1. So how about I lead us in prayer as we begin? Lord, we praise you so much for our Saviour Jesus. Thank you that you have spoken. You're not a God who is far off or distant, but a God who has spoken and entered the world as we've recalled at Christmas time. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to have ears that are open to listen to your Word, minds that understand and comprehend, and hearts that love and are willing to obey. And we pray that you would help us to submit to your Word tonight, that you'd help me to speak clearly and us to carefully digest and understand and obey your Word and live it out day by day. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As Mark begins his Gospel in Mark chapter 1, he really doesn't mince words. The other Gospels might put in a lovely family tree of Jesus to help us understand the context, or perhaps a lovely birth or nativity story about the wise men or the shepherds as we celebrate Epiphany Sunday today. But Mark dispenses with all of that and gets straight to the facts. And in fact, in our first 15 verses, we find Jesus already diving into his preaching ministry, which I think is really the culmination of this passage that's been read to us. The message Jesus preaches is repent and believe the good news, the heart of what Jesus came to say. And that's really a big call, a big thing. Repentance isn't just saying sorry for the little wrong things I've done here and there, but repentance is in fact describing a whole life turn around from living my own way, doing what I want, living my life, giving my own direction and guide and deciding what my life is about, turning around and saying, sorry, God, for ignoring you and living my own way. I'm now going to live for you from now on. It's a whole life change. And so as both John the Baptist preaches a similar message and then Jesus brings his message, they're making a big call on the lives of the people around them. And they're making a big call on you and on me. So we've got to ask the question, is it worth it? It's a big commitment being called for, that your whole life might turn around to live for Jesus, every aspect. So let's take a look at both John and his life and message, and also Jesus in these first 15 verses to reflect on this big commitment Jesus is calling for and whether it's worthwhile. First off, in verse 4, if you have a look down there in your Bible, verse 4, we meet John the Baptist. He appears in the wilderness. He's a bit of a strange guy. He's kind of the guy you would cross the street to avoid, I would think. But we find in verse 5, everyone flocks out to the desert to see him. Isn't that strange? In verse 5, we read that the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. why did John get such a good response? I wonder, was he sort of roasting and honeycoating those locusts and everyone came out for the flavour? You know, or was it the style of camel's hair skin, you know, clothing that he had out there in the desert that brought the people to him? I don't think so. It was the message he preached, wasn't it? And John would have been, I think, refreshingly honest about what it means to be human. You know, he understood that life isn't just all roses. And he didn't just, he actually spoke in very real and confronting terms, calling for confession of sins and repentance. But he doesn't just have that honesty, but also he offers hope. He offers forgiveness. He offers a dealing with those issues and that problem. So here's John out in the wilderness. Everyone flocks to him. And we see in verse 4 a summary of his message. He's preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. A baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John preached among the Jews. It was the Jews who went out to him. And Isaiah 40 gives us a little bit of context of the Jews' anticipation and waiting, doesn't it? And the context into which John comes. The Jews were very familiar with the ideas of cleansing and ritual washing, weren't they? If you were to read the book of Leviticus, you'd see all kinds of things about what it means to be clean and unclean and the ceremonial washing, and all this kind of thing was a familiar thing for the Jews. And so they came out and John was saying, you need to be washed clean from your sins. Everyone needs to be washed clean from their sins. And as a symbol of that washing clean, he'd dunk them under the water and pull them up again, and he'd offer the forgiveness from God for people's sins as they acknowledged and confessed their sins. And so people flocked to him. People came out. See, the Jews, they weren't in an easy situation in this time. They were living under Roman occupation. Things were hard. Their identity as Jews was sort of in tatters. Where was the temple? Where was their home? Where were they? And so John offers hope. And as we look around the world around us, we do see a wonderful place. As we move out here to Wilton and Picton, there's, you know, great things to enjoy out on the Robson's place overlooking the river. There's some beautiful places out here, but there's also, we know in life, a bit of frustration and pain, isn't there? There's hardship and suffering, and as we get to know each other's stories, we'll see some of that beauty and joy and love of life, but we'll also see some of that hardship and pain as well. And John, he understands that, and he says, well, the problem is actually sin. Not that your hardship's caused by your sin. They're not necessarily directly connected like that, but this broken world is a result of a broken human race who've ignored and rejected God as our maker and lived our own way, and the result is kind of a little bit of chaos. But the chaos is just an indicator of the problem. The real problem is in the human heart, is sin. And the real, and worse than just the chaos that we might experience now and then in this life, is the judgment that will come. That God will set to rights this broken world. And that's good news. I want God to come and set to right this broken world. But the problem comes when I realise that I'm actually a part of this broken world that needs to be set right. And so it's appropriate for God, when he comes to judge me. And so John, he calls them, confess your sins, come for forgiveness, acknowledge that and come to God for forgiveness, and he baptized them. And he offers hope as people came to him in repentance and for forgiveness of sins. The people came out. See, the Christian faith is not just about ritual and tradition, it's about living for Jesus in every aspect of life. And the repentance that John called for wasn't just saying sorry for a few wrong things that I've done, but it's that whole life turnaround. It's not just Sundays, but it's Monday mornings as you head off to work with integrity and faithfulness, to be a good worker. It means on Tuesday evenings to be a faithful husband or wife, loving and looking after the needs of your spouse, caring for the kids and reading the scriptures and praying for them. It means seeking to witness with our friends to Jesus. John calls for all of our lives to turn back to God and be lived for him. And he baptizes them. Baptism is a wonderful sign of washing and making clean. A few months ago, I had the privilege of taking a family who've recently committed their life to Jesus, a whole family, down to the beach at Cronulla to baptize them. It was such a great celebration as their friends came to witness and join in. But the funny thing was, we got to the beach, and it was one of those great safe beaches for the kids that's only knee deep, about a kilometre out. And so we're walking out, thinking, hang on a minute. So we had to do the old Anglican sprinkle anyway, even though we're at the beach. But it's a great joy to see people turn their lives around, to put their trust in Jesus. And this baptism is a symbol of that. But John was clear that his baptism was just a symbol. His life and his message were all just a symbol pointing forward to something greater. And John was all about the anticipation and the preparing the way for the one to come who is Jesus. His baptism was a baptism of water, anticipating the baptism of the Holy Spirit that Jesus would bring. His message was one of the good news to come, and that was all anticipated and found in Jesus. Just like John the Baptist, our ministry must point beyond ourselves to Jesus. Just like John the Baptist, our lives ought not to bring attention or followers to ourselves, but to him. And so as I join you here as your new minister, I hope that we succeed. I hope we have a thriving church that's happy and joyful and growing and impacting our community. But if we have all those things and there's a whole thriving community that's attached to and following perhaps Phil or I, that's actually not that good. Because Phil and I need to point beyond ourselves to Jesus, just as John the Baptist did. And all of our lives need to be about him. Just as John says, after me comes one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. There are some great leaders in this world. There's people that call for you to follow them, but all they can offer is water. Jesus offers the Holy Spirit. Jesus offers the real deal. And what does that mean? Well, that means that he, by his death on the cross, paying for our sins, is able to reconcile us, make us right with God again, so we can receive the Holy Spirit, have God living with us. He offers the Holy Spirit. And so it's Jesus that we need to point to. It's him to whom we need to lead people. And right on cue, here in verse 9, Jesus comes on the scene. Here he is. He comes out to John and he's baptized by him in the Jordan River. And that's weird, don't you think? What was John offering? He was offering a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Who was Jesus? The sinless Son of God. So why would Jesus be baptized in a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins? Is that weird to you or is it just me? That's weird, isn't it? What's going on? Well, I think Jesus here is associating himself with our sins. And just as God has come to earth in the incarnation at Christmas time to be one of us, so here he's wanting to be like us, because he's going to, and this is in anticipation, he's going to be the one who will bear our sins upon himself. And so he's baptized by John, and there's not a lot of detail here as there is in Matthew and in Luke, but he's baptized by John because he's wanting to be among us, one of us. And we'll see that in his temptation too, that he's going to be the one who will bear our sins. But whilst all that's happening and he goes through the baptism, it's just not like an ordinary baptism. John probably dunked them all through the day, you know. But this one was different, because we see there in verses 10 and 11 what happens. Have a look down at your Bibles with me. Verses 10 and 11, we see all the heavens open, is torn open, and the Spirit descends on him like a dove, and God the Father says, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." And here we have God the Father's stamp of approval on his Son Jesus at the beginning of his ministry. Here we have both God the Father in his speech, God the Holy Spirit in the dove descending, and Jesus all at work kicking off the ministry of Jesus, the preaching ministry of Jesus at his baptism. This is a very significant moment. And so, amazingly, Jesus is quickly whisked off to the desert to be tempted by Satan. And here we see that Jesus didn't just skim across the easy parts of being human, but experienced the depth of suffering and temptation and difficulty. You might go through trials in life. You can trust Jesus understands, has been through worse. We know that he is our faithful God who has experienced all the temptations that Satan could throw at him during those 40 days and beyond, and yet remained faithful. We have a faithful Saviour. And Jesus then, coming out of the desert in verse 14 and 15, begins his preaching ministry. And here's the climax of these verses. Have a look there. Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. And it's helpful for us to remember that our message, the message we bear, is good news. Sometimes it's easy to start to shy away and think we're kind of the poo-poo people of the world and the naysayers. But we're the ones bearing good news, bringing good news, not to be ashamed of, to rejoice in, to be proud of, to declare the name of Jesus in our community, the bearers of good news. This is great stuff. And that good news, as Jesus declares, is the fact that the kingdom of God has come near. Mark's going to spend a lot of time talking about the kingdom of God. He's going to relay all kinds of parables of Jesus, explaining what the kingdom of God is like. And he's going to importantly talk about how that you enter the kingdom of God. It's going to be a big thing throughout Mark's gospel. But here, it's enough to say the kingdom of God is the place where God is king. And Jesus is re-establishing God's loving rule over his creation by providing the opportunity for people to be put back into right relationship with God and live for and submit to him as their king. This timing is as true today as it was back then. The kingdom of God is near. All it takes is to repent and believe, to turn and put your trust in Jesus, to be part of this kingdom and live with him as your king. And so this is good news. John called for repentance, for the forgiveness of sins, and said, the good news is coming, the good news is coming. Jesus is the good news come. He is it. It is here. He actually is the way that the forgiveness John spoke about can come about. Jesus doesn't just bring the good news, he actually is the good news. And that's what Mark is trying to get across to us. And we see that in the very first verse of his gospel. He says, the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. Isaiah's prophecy makes clear that this is God come to earth to bring salvation. And just as he was born into this world, becoming one of us, just as he was baptized by John, associating himself with sinful humans like you and me, so Jesus will go to the cross to bear our sin upon himself so that we can be forgiven and receive that forgiveness of sins that John preached, to live in the kingdom of God with God as our King. So I'm really excited to be here. Have I preached long enough? Have I, Ethan and Izzy? It's great to be here. It's very exciting to be a community of people who point beyond ourselves to Jesus, because he is who it's all about. And to declare this great news that people can be part of the kingdom of God if they would put their trust in Jesus and repent and believe. And I hope and pray that we will be that beacon of light, declaring the truth and the good news to all around us, that they might come too and be part of the kingdom. Not just the kingdom of this little church, but God's kingdom globally. It's a great joy and a privilege to be God's people who live for him day by day, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday and beyond, as we seek to repent and believe daily and follow our Saviour Jesus. So let's pray. Lord, we praise you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the preaching of John, who called for confession of sins and announced forgiveness to come, and for Jesus, who brought the reality of that forgiveness and the good news of the kingdom of God being near. We pray, Lord, that you would help us as your people to point beyond ourselves to Jesus, just as John did, to be people who turn our whole lives around in repentance and faith and trust in Jesus, that we might live for him and love one another. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.